This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 257 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. You guys may or may not remember this from last offseason, but I did two studies on spotting breakout wide receivers and running backs. Within each study, I looked at historical average draft position data and then found players who far exceeded their ADP. From there, I studied those players. I looked to find trends to see if there were commonalities between each of the players who really outperformed where they were being drafted. And there were shared attributes for both running backs and wide receivers. So on today's show, I'm going to look at those attributes and try to spot some breakout running backs and wide receivers for this season, for 2019. Now there's one important thing I want to throw out there before we get going. And this isn't an ad read, so don't skip ahead. You shouldn't skip ahead during those reads anyway, that's what I'm supposed to say. But I want to say that I don't want the takeaway of this episode to simply be the players that I'm choosing as potential breakouts this year. I don't want you to just remember the players. The takeaway should be about the process. I want you to figure out who your favorite breakout running backs and wide receivers are based on some of the trends that I've found. That's how fantasy football is won in a sustainable way. And honestly, that's how fantasy football is more fun. Okay, now it's time for the ad read. The last major golf tournament of the year is upon us, and FanDuel is offering up something extra for a subpar performance. Enter the PGA Eagle or the PGA Stinger contest, and if any golfer in any of your lineups gets the lowest single-round score of the tournament, you'll get a share of the $10,000 bonus on top of any regular contest winnings. For more info on the $10,000 best round bonus, visit FanDuel.com/best-round-bonus or download the app today. Eligibility restrictions may apply. We're going to start with running backs today. I admittedly think the process for running backs is a lot cleaner than it is at wide receiver. And last year, the process led me to Aaron Jones, to James White, to Kerryon Johnson. It was a helpful process. Now, when I analyzed all this data last year, I walked away with four big criteria to follow when looking at a breakout running back or looking for a breakout running back. And for the record, to be a breakout running back, I defined it as a player being drafted outside the top 100. Not at the position, but overall. That's a completely random designation, but I had to start somewhere. But the first is that a breakout running back is rarely a handcuff. I know James Conner was the biggest value in fantasy drafts last year, but not only is that an exception to the rule, Conner wasn't necessarily a typical handcuff. We knew going into the season that Le'Veon Bell was possibly holding out, so it's a little bit different of a situation. But these players who break out are rarely handcuffs. They're also part of ambiguous backfields. The running back teammate of a player selected as a breakout was drafted, on average, around pick 53, so he wasn't being selected as some workhorse back. That sort of plays into the handcuff thing, though. Handcuffs are players who serve as insurance for the elite running backs in the league. So if we know these breakouts typically aren't handcuffs, then they're on teams with questionable running backs. The third piece of criteria is that these breakout running backs are generally pass catchers. Their proportion of target share to rushing share was a much larger one than the typical running back. And lastly, these running backs usually come from good offenses. We know that offensive situation matters for running backs because it creates more scoring opportunities, among other things. An offensive situation isn't super simple to predict. But as I've talked about on previous shows before, when in doubt, just look at the quarterback. Passing offense is the one piece of football that's the most sticky year over year. And it's because we see the same quarterbacks under center year over year. So those are the four main pieces of criteria for spotting a breakout running back. They're not usually handcuffs, they're part of ambiguous backfields, they're pass catchers, and they're in good offenses. I want you to walk away from this episode with that as the most important piece of information running back-wise. But now, who fits the mold? So like I said, the study that I did looked at players who were drafted after pick 100. But I do think that there are some running backs inside the top 100 who roughly fit the mold who I want to talk through first. Those guys are Miles Sanders, Tevin Coleman, Daryl Henderson, and Latavius Murray. Sanders sort of fits this mold pretty well. He's not a handcuff, he's in an ambiguous backfield, he can be used as a pass catcher, and the Eagles should be pretty good offensively. And you could say the same for Tevin Coleman. But both players are being selected as the top backs in their backfield, so it's not exactly what we're looking for in one of these huge value breakouts. It's not what we usually see, but I think both are good picks of their ADPs. And then there's Daryl Henderson. Some see him as a handcuff, but he's really not that at all. Henderson was never a huge workhorse in college, and I doubt the Rams see him as that in the NFL, especially after experiencing what they've experienced with Todd Gurley. They may not want a workhorse, but Henderson offers plenty of standalone upside even if Gurley is playing. And if Gurley's out, even though he's not the handcuff, his workload should increase. With Latavius Murray, he fits the criteria well-ish. Usually breakout running backs don't come from teams with a player who's being drafted as high as Alvin Kamara is, because most teams aren't capable of supporting two really good fantasy running backs. But the Saints are obviously different. Their running backs have finished as a team as the best or second best group in the league in fantasy points in each of their last 8 seasons. Murray hasn't been much of a pass catcher in recent seasons, but he's not like Jordan Howard. He actually has a 40-plus catch season under his belt too. So if you're going zero RB, I don't mind those guys in the middle rounds at all. I think that they're smart targets. If you want a true breakout candidate though, or someone who's going pretty late in drafts who can have a big season, I think one back to target is Damian Harris. The Patriots are an easy team to target each season for running backs because we know the situation is beneficial. And it's almost always a muddied backfield. Over the last 4 seasons though, New England's ranked 3rd, 2nd, 6th, and 4th in team running back scoring in fantasy football. And we've seen a lot of different running backs go through that system and be worthwhile in fake football. Entering the season, Sony Michel and James White are the favorites to see the largest chunk of those points. But New England spent a day 2 pick on Damian Harris, and Sony Michel has a history of knee issues, and recently, he had his knee scoped. I think projection-wise, you still got to favor Michel in the backfield as the early down and goal line guy. But you're trying to pick spots in the later rounds of your draft where there's a lot of upside and potential with your running back. And that's what Damian Harris provides. If he tanks, it's not a big deal. It's a double-digit round pick. But he really fits a lot of the criteria that we're looking for. I'm also very intrigued by Deontay Foreman. I know he tore his Achilles, and I know it's an injury that running backs just don't come back from. But our sample size is incredibly small with running backs who have sustained this injury. There's actually some optimism from doctors and the team itself surrounding Deontay Foreman. And ahead of Foreman on the Texans depth chart is Lamar Miller. There's really nothing wrong with Lamar Miller, but there's nothing special about Lamar Miller either. I don't even mind him in his ADP. But Foreman checks the boxes. He's not strictly a handcuff because he'll likely get work in that backfield entering the season. That means there's at least some ambiguity back there too. He's in a pretty good offense as long as that offense is healthy. Scoring opportunities are going to be there. And while he most definitely wasn't a pass catcher in college, I don't know how much you guys remember about Deontay Foreman, but he had just 13 receptions versus 431 carries at Texas. But even though he wasn't a pass catcher in college, his very limited sample in the NFL seems fine. He's not primarily a pass catcher, so he's not this perfect breakout running back candidate, but there's enough there for him to be a strong value this year. There are plenty of others who I think fit this criteria loosely as well. Jalen Samuels, Austin Eckler, the other San Francisco running backs, Ito Smith, Justice Hill, and even Malcolm Brown. I think each of those players should at least be on your radar this season. But as I said at the top, this isn't about the individual picks. This is about the process. Now, like I said, wide receiver is a little bit different, and admittedly, it's harder to find breakouts each year. Even last year, we obviously had players who outperformed their ADP, but Tyler Boyd was the one player who did it by a lot. And then we had Kenny Golladay, almost Robert Woods, but his ADP was higher than 100, and Calvin Ridley as well. But let's look at the criteria that generally works for breakout wide receivers. The first is that they rarely are emerging from nowhere. They're generally not rookies. Historically, breakout receivers have had some sort of production, just not studly production for fantasy purposes. They're also typically not their team's first pass catcher to leave draft boards. And like running backs, they're in ambiguous situations. They aren't replacements. So they're not handcuffs, you can't really handcuff a wide receiver. And they're in good offenses. So let me just recap that really quick. They've had historical production, they're not the first pass catcher drafted on their team, they're in ambiguous situations, they don't simply benefit from injury, and they're in good offenses. I have two guys that I'm targeting a lot in drafts who are just inside the top 100, so they don't technically qualify for this, but I love them as breakout candidates. So I'm going to mention them. The first is Dante Pettis. I'm honestly a little bit shocked that his ADP isn't higher than it currently is, though it has gone up a little bit over the last few weeks. But over on draft, Pettis is leaving draft boards at pick 75, and he fits the criteria pretty well. He's not the first pass catcher on his team being drafted given George Kittle. He had usable production last year. The pass catching situation in San Francisco is definitely ambiguous, and the 49ers have offensive upside. They could easily finish as a top half offense with Jimmy Garoppolo back. I've talked a lot about Pettis on this show this offseason though, but just know that I'm definitely into him. The other is Curtis Samuel. I love me some DJ Moore, and I think that he's the one with more upside in that Panthers offense. He has the college production, he was the better prospect, and in games with Cam Newton last year when Moore was playing more snaps, he was out-targeting Curtis Samuel as a rookie. But Samuel was very much involved, and he's a really good athlete. He's not someone that I really bought into entering the NFL, but he's already shown to be more than this hybrid guy that he entered the league as. He's currently being drafted in the 90s overall, so he's very close to that pick 100 threshold. I like Curtis Samuel a lot at his ADP. If you dig deeper and look past pick 100, I think that you can look at Pittsburgh and Dante Moncrief and James Washington. The situation there isn't totally filled with question marks because there's a stud at the number one receiver spot with Juju Smith-Schuster. But there are plenty of question marks behind him, and that's where the breakout could come from. If you look at the one piece of criteria of these players usually having some sort of historical production, Dante Moncrief should be the receiver that you target in the Steelers' offense. I've probably liked James Washington a little bit more this offseason, but we're going with process here. And the process says Moncrief over Washington in this case. So at the very least, be open to Moncrief if you've been a James Washington person this offseason. Feel free to split them in drafts. I also think that you can treat things similarly with Geronimo Allison and Marquez Valdes-Scantling. And then the two other players who seem to fit the criteria are Kiki Kuti and Devin Funchess. Again, you're targeting players in somewhat ambiguous situations who have previous production and they're in good offenses. Those players provide that. Now guys, there are plenty of players who I probably like and just didn't talk about today. And maybe you'll find them and tweet them at me after listening to today's show. You can feel free to do that. I would love to hear that. I didn't treat today's podcast though as some analytics heavy episode. I just wanted to reiterate the process for finding these breakouts. I wanted to provide some examples of players that I seem to like and players that I'm drafting. But I'm just using those examples to hopefully help you guys see what this process is all about. It's not foolproof, but it should be helpful. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And if you're on iTunes, hit me up with a rating and review. You can also follow me on Twitter, @LateRoundQB. Thanks, everyone. I'll be back in your ears later this week with a mailbag episode.